Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Our next guest is a teacher in the Shambhala Buddhist tradition at the Shambhala Center in Chelsea, as a matter of fact, and has written a book about how Generation Y can navigate modern life spiritually, from dealing with office gossip to FOMO, or fear of missing out. His new book is called Walk Like a Buddha. Even if your boss sucks, your ex is torturing you, and you're hungover again. Lodro Rinzer, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having me.
Did I say your name right? Is it Lodro?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're a Shambhala Buddhist. What does that mean?
So Shambhala is a tradition within the Buddhist canon that actually really emphasizes not just meditation and the Buddhist teachings, but really how could we use this practice as a tool for interchange in order to create social change. So the Shambhala emphasis really is how do we live in the world with sanity and compassion.
And does that change from generation to generation? If this is a Generation Y focused book, are you keying on a certain set of problems or ways of interacting with the world?
You know, with both this and the first book that I wrote, The Buddha Walks Into a Bar, I realized that there were a lot of Buddhist teachings and, you know, teachers that were trying to make these things accessible. But the examples that we're using were really targeting people a little bit older than me, people that were going through maybe a midlife crisis. And I thought, who's doing quarter life crisis? You know, who's actually talking about Buddhism and meditation as applied to trying to figure out what you want to do when you grow up or your first big heartbreak?
So do you want those kinds of calls? You give millennials advice from a Buddhist Buddhist perspective on, like, relationships and should they go to grad school?
Basically, I do all of that. I mean, it's interesting because obviously I'm 30. I have a following within that particular age range. But as I travel, as I'm about to do for Walk Like a Buddha to about 18 cities, I meet all sorts of people. And I remember I was in Seattle last year for The Buddha Walks Into a Bar, and a woman sat down and she said, you know, listen, I'm recently divorced. And I thought, okay, I know where this is going. And I'm starting to date. And I said, I definitely know where this is going. She said, you know, sometimes I'm with a man and he comes, but I haven't. And he asked me if I did, and I don't want to lie, so I'm being honest. But then I have to soothe his ego, and then he feels like less of a man. And then it becomes like this whole thing. What does Buddhism have to say about any of that? So I've gotten it all before.
So in keeping with the theme of the book, if you're a millennial or Gen Y, let's say if you're under 35 and you have a walk like a Buddha question, how do I walk like a Buddha when I'm, call it up, whatever your fill in the blank is for that question. We have a different phone number than usual today because of some technical problems, but we'll see if anybody uses this phone number to ask you how to walk like a Buddha. 646-616-7456. 646-616-7456. One more time, since it's not the usual number, 646-616-7456. The book addresses things like drinking too much, smoking, and drug addiction. And you say that in all of these instances, people should do what makes them feel good, both during and after. So if you want to have a few drinks with friends, that's okay. But constantly taking lots of drugs is probably not a good idea. It seems like common sense. So are you just tweaking Buddhism to fit modern life, or are these things really okay in moderation in Buddhist tradition?
You know, I remember there's the story of Suzuki Roshi, who was one of the wonderful Zen teachers that brought that tradition to America. And a student asked him once, what's the deal? You know, I love having sex and I love having it a lot. And Suzuki Roshi said, sex is like brushing your teeth. It's okay to do, but you shouldn't do it all day long. And there is this, I don't think I'm the first by any means to actually say, let's look at how this meditation tradition could really apply to everyday life. So in the same way that if we are going to talk to high school kids about, you know, having sex because they're going to do it anyway, you know, I could go into a room and say, who here has meditated before? Maybe half the hands will go up. But if I say, who's gone to a bar? Every hand will go up. So if they're going to go to a bar anyway, how could we do that with mindfulness? How could we actually be present and know when we hit our limits and stop? So bringing these practices, the meditation practice, off the cushion into all of these activities is what this book's about.
So besides meditation itself, sitting on the cushion, What's the second most common thing you recommend people do?
Well, I mean, it's really like meditation, and then the second most common thing I recommend is more meditation. But it is this fact that what we're doing on the cushion is learning to be present with what is. So whether, you know, we're making love to someone, whether we're at a bar, whether we're getting yelled at by our boss, we're still learning to be present. The flip side of this as a result of meditation is that there's a lot of practices in the book on just how to maintain an open heart, how to actually really live in a way that you're not shutting down your heart all the time.
Mallory in Millburn, you're on WNYC with Lodra Rinsler, author of Walk Like a Buddhist. Hi, Mallory.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I am 24 years old. My fiance is 29. We recently got engaged. And my mother is very against me getting married. I don't know if it seems like it's just marrying him, but it could be married in general. I just wanted to see his take on that.
Yeah, thanks so much for that question, Mallory. You know, I like to say that I've gotten it all before, but that's a fresh one where your mother may not necessarily want you to get married. You know, having been raised part Jewish, I have quite the opposite problem. So in this case, I mean, obviously, to actually get to the root of what it is that is bothering your mother is going to take some time of really just sort of being open, as we were just talking about, and not necessarily shutting down and saying, okay, I assume here's what your issues are. The Zen teacher, the Korean Zen teacher Sung San, once talked about how to like communicate Dharma, the Buddhist teachings, to people. And he said, basically, what you need to do is you need to just be there. And be there without expectation of what someone else is going to take away. So in this particular case, if we were going to apply his advice, it would mean that you would have to be there with your mother and talk about why you're getting married, what your motivation is, and see what comes up for her without, you know, sort of shutting down and thinking through exactly what you're going to say when she's done talking or how you're going to rebut all of her various points, but to just be there with her and just show your love. So, I mean, the first
step
here...
Which doesn't mean she has to do what her mother wants her to do.
Oh, God, no. I'm going off the assumption, Mallory, that you're getting married to this man because you love him, and you know why. So that first step of actually knowing your motivation for why you want to marry this man is clear. So if you could communicate that genuinely, I bet more people would understand.
All right. Sounds like good advice to me. Mom, I'm doing what I feel is right, but I love you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Now, since... Buddhism is a religion that has applicability far beyond Chelsea and Millburn, New Jersey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our next caller is Balaji from southern France. And we don't get a lot of calls from southern France, so Buddhism must be a very powerful religion. Balaji, you're on WNYC. Hello from New York. Are you really in southern France?
Yes, I'm
oh, you're on,
me, I'm really,
you're on Skype.
I'm really from... I'm calling from a Wipe call. I'm really from southern France, and I was listening to WNYZ this afternoon because I'm working from home today. So my question is that people of my age, that is less than 35, really aspire for a good career, and often they have this face this challenge of managing themselves towards time. So does Buddhism have any solution to it? I was very interested to listen to that.
Balaji, thank you very much. Did the Buddha ever say anything about time management?
You know, it's funny that you mention that because we live in a very different time. And the big part of Walk Like a Buddha is we need to learn for ourselves exactly how to interpret these teachings. Because the Buddha, for example, if you're working from home today, the Buddha didn't have Facebook, right? He didn't have the internet and all of its many cat videos and other distractions. So the time management for him was very different. So to look to what he did speak of in terms of really manifesting in the world and really showing up for whatever an occasion called for, in that same vein of what we were talking about earlier and taking your meditation practice off the cushion and being present for whatever it comes up, that's what, you know, I would say in this particular case might be relevant. So, you mentioned, you know, that you have some questions coming up with your career. And this comes down to how much can you actually live in line with your heart? There's a Tibetan word, nyingje, N-Y-N-G-J-E, which means noble heart. And it's one of the many words for compassion. But I love that one because it's actually saying, can we tune into something that we already have, i.e. this noble heart that can serve as a moral compass for us? So whether we notice that we're spacing out at work and not necessarily doing what we ought to be doing, or we're questioning the work that we're doing overall, the question becomes, how much are we actually in tune with our noble heart? How much are we actually listening? In some sense, you could even say to your intuition. And if you think maybe I'm not doing the work I ought to be doing, either within that career or just that particular day, then you can actually be a little bit more discerning about your time and really focus on what aspects of your life you want to focus on.
Balaji, thank you for calling in. And one time management tip might be to not call into radio shows while you're, quote, working from home. But I would add an exception, which is if you're calling to ask about time management.
Right, exactly.
It seems very Buddhist to me. One more, and that will be Yana in Queens. Yana, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
So I have a little bit of a story to tell before I guess I ask the question. And I don't think that it has to do specifically with this one person, but in general, I have issues with people who don't seem to care. So I'm a very emotional person, and this particular story was about a friend of mine. Our children go to school together, and she had been doing some things that made me feel uncomfortable, and I tried to first ignore it, just personality things, comments that she said. I just started to ignore it, and then I started to get rather insulted by some of the things that she said, so I would say something to her, and you know, her response to me was, well, I just don't feel that way. Or, I'm sorry that you feel that way, but there's nothing that I really wanted to, you know, say to this in this conversation. And that was, like, the end of our relationship. And I feel like, you know, she just didn't want to talk about it. And I feel that it's very important to talk about whatever your relationship is going on in your relationship.
And Yana, I'm going to leave it there. Forgive me, because we're almost entirely out of time. But you were talking about communicating before.
Absolutely. Yana, this is a great question, and it's something that I actually talk a lot about in Walk Like a Buddha, because the book's based around five different sections. One's just meditation, but then it goes into how does meditation apply to going out with friends, to romantic situations, to work situations, and what I put into sort of a large heading of social action. And it's something I'm talking a lot about tonight. I'm doing an event on shindig.com, which is sort of an online, I think it's an online party where, you know, I'll be doing a reading specifically on this question.
We've got a link, by the way, on our site for that. Great. We knew you were doing this. This is from 7 o'clock tonight until 9 o'clock tonight for a virtual launch party for the book, right?
Yeah, I'll be drinking. I hope you guys will too.
And I gather you are going to have a physical launch party at the Powerhouse Arena in Dumbo on Wednesday night, October 30th. At 7 p.m.?
Costumes encouraged. Yeah. So, Yana, to get to the point, though, I'll be very brief since I know we are running out of time. I mean, apathy is something that we face throughout the world, obviously, at this point, and we can't change other people. But the Buddha did teach us to live with bodhicitta, this Sanskrit term, which means awake our open heart. So if we could actually continue to manifest an open heart even when we encounter other people's apathy, what we're essentially doing is inviting them to meet us in that space of openness. So by opening a little bit, we invite other people to open a little bit, and we can go from there.
And from there, we have to leave it with Lodro Rinzler. The book is called Walk Like a Buddha. Even if your boss sucks, your ex is torturing you, and you're hungover again, that's the title of the book. Lodro, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much. In bookstores everywhere, October 15th, and available on Shambhala.com today.
And I don't know if you can apply this to Washington, D.C., but coming up next, they're still not walking like a Buddha in Congress. And also the president has let people know that he will nominate Janet Yellen today to be the next Federal Reserve Board chair. Will this start another battle in the polarized Senate? Stay with us.